Freeze it right there. It's power.
I gotta confirm on the target.
Take him alive, if possible.
But you all know what this man is capable of.
Target's on the move!
Jack Bauer is a traitor and a psychopath who killed two Russian diplomats.
Hands behind your head, on your knees!
I know how many lives you've saved, how much the country is in your debt, but they're just gonna see a man who snapped.
Killing and mutilating with no regard to the law or conscience. A man whose country now labels him a criminal. A terrorist.
After all these years, he surfaces in London the same time as President Heller?
We have to consider that he is here to do the president harm.
There's an order coming to have you transferred to Special Activities Division for enhanced interrogation. You better than anyone know what they're going to do to you down there.
Take me to her now.
Now!
Put the weapon down. You seem smarter than the rest of them, so I'm gonna tell you this once. I'm trying to prevent an attack, and you are getting in my way. That was a mistake.
Jack, get in! Bauer!
I intercepted intel framing an assassination attempt on President Heller here in London today. I traced it back to your organization.
It's drones.
They're planning a full-scale attack.
This is bigger than President Heller.
If an American president is assassinated on foreign soil, you're looking at a world war.
Everybody has a weak spot. We'll find his.
As long as she lives, she is never going to hear the name Jack Bauer again.
Bauer has escaped.
I want you to bring him here.
Why are you doing this, Jack? Some fantasy if you stop the attack, all will be forgiven.
There's no going back for me. Trigger an alarm and I'll blow your head off.
I'm worried about you.
You're barely eating or sleeping.
Go, go, go!
I think you gotta get past everything that happened to you over there.
I'm okay.
Are you?
Yes, she is. Beginning to think this whole thing was gonna happen without you.
Don't worry, I know how important this is.
It'll help us get into the White House.
Come on.
I want this to be your moment. You're gonna make a great first lady.
6 months ago,
former director of CTU Rebecca Ingram
launched an assault on the compound of Ibrahim Ben Khalil.
I'd like to acknowledge the many dedicated people at CTU and the six Army Rangers who risked their lives to stop Ben Khalil from carrying out his threat to attack this country.
This is for Ben Khalid.
Yeah, Eric. Ben Khalid's people found us.
What is it?
Get to the attic now. Go, go! No matter what you hear, no matter what happens, you stay there. Nicole, we gotta go. Come on, we gotta go. We're blown, Rebecca. Ben Khalid's people found us.
Ben Khalid was planning an attack on U.S. soil. Maybe this is a part of that.
They're gonna kill a lot of people. I have to try and stop them.
Why does it need to be you?
I'm the only one I can trust.
The hell are you doing here?
I need your help. No one can know where she is.
There's a situation at CTU.
Whatever's going on over there, it's not your job anymore.
I'm the only one who can help. The life he says he wants with me, it'll never be enough for him. Grant just got on the number 13 bus. Stay on it.
I got it. They're here.
Then we better hurry.
I'm moving in. Let's go!
Looks like you had a rough morning.
Welcome all to the show. We got Delvin Cox of the Delvin Cox Experience, and who would win? Welcome.
Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure coming on. How you guys doing?
I'm delightful. I haven't run out of time. And we got movie buff Tim Caldwell. Damn it.
I'm sorry. Hello, kids. How's it going?
Hi, kids. Yeah, that would be great if there was a Sesame Street version of 24.
Yeah.
Here's what happens when time runs out. Here's what happens when you torture too many people and you still do your job.
I feel like there is like a Sesame Street parody or something like that that came out a while back of 24.
It was. There was. But I'm just saying more literally, like figuratively. Here's what happens when someone loses a finger.
The following takes place between 7 a.m. and nap time.
Here's what happens when you betray your country and then you write a treaty and it's okay. Now you can come work for the CIA again on a leash.
All right, now count the fingers as I cut them off.
One, two, Oh, shit. So, what was your introduction to this? I'll circle around. Delvin, when did you decide to give this the time of day? Was it a word of mouth and you just collect the DVDs, or were you actually watching it when it was on and having to set your recorder?
24 in general?
Yeah.
I can tell you that. Okay. I want to say this was around the time season 4 was airing.
Nice. It had just gone digital and people were collecting the sets and...
Yes, season 3 was like on one of those knockoff channels. They were doing like a marathon. I think it was WGN or something like that. We're doing a marathon on 24.
FX would do it too. They would do all day marathons.
Never seen the show before at all. Just happened to see Kiefer Sutherland was on it. Like, this might be interesting. Let me sit there and watch it.
He's known for playing psychos.
If I'm correct, it was season 3.
Yeah.
Because it was the whole thing with Jack Bauer was undercover, the cartel, he was getting high off coke and stuff like that. It was wild.
Yeah, that's the season where he ended up crying at the end, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Well, he cried in multiple seasons at the end, depending on what happened.
I meant the first time he cried.
Yeah, instead of yelling, no, here he's like raising Jack Jr., also known as like Chase, and tell him, mind your business. And yes, I'm breaking the law. And shut up. Do as I say, not as I do. It was great.
So I'm watching it and I'm like, this is fucking amazing.
And Dennis Haysbert.
I'm like,
great president. Yeah.
It was like, this is awesome. I was so shocked at how good the show was, the production value on it and stuff like that, and the plot. I think I was on episode 5.
Right.
I stayed up and watched the whole marathon.
Wow.
Man.
Like the 24 marathon. I watched the whole thing and then immediately went out to find DVDs of season 1 and 2. This is how long ago it was. Like,
and
I said,
all so expensive. I bought a DVD. Yeah.
Yes. I think I bought them like it was still kind of new at the time.
So did I bought you do season what I one did DVD. And buy seasons for other friends and family to borrow or what have you?
No, I didn't. I don't care about that.
Fuck you guys. You missed out.
Not the least bit. Tough luck. But I remember this because this was around, like 24 was around, came out around the same time Lost and stuff like that. That was a good era of TV.
X-Files, like in general, everything.
So
Jericho,
all that good stuff was coming out. So Dexter, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I bought season 1, watched the whole thing, like all on the whole season, like in one day. Started early in the morning, finished like late at night. Mm-hmm. Then like did the same thing with season 2, and I was like so into this show, like this is amazing. I like the little details that the show had.
Wrapped up nicely.
Exactly. And I like the fact that the show is a very political show, but it doesn't necessarily lean on that.
It's apolitical. Like it doesn't like, and
yeah,
it can appeal to even ones who just want a one and done kind of deal, like NCIS or CSI. It was catering to that crowd as well, while others wanted something like Sopranos on that. You're going to follow everything and it was modeled like that. They're basically, it's a 2-hour movie, you know.
It's very brilliant the way they make it, because they don't never tell you, like, the show is, like I said, the show has presidents and stuff like that. They never really tell you what political party the president is.
You can
figure out certain elements of it and things like that, but they make sure they don't tell you that.
It's a giveaway line, but yeah, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they're all going to have to question their principles and probably break the law or two, which is kind of how it would happen in real life. But
exactly,
it's going to be a poster child. And I like
the fact that the way they show it, that like you had the squeaky clean president like Palmer, dirty back pass, dirty things he had to get into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that kind of led the show. Then you had the other president who was a sleazeball. it was so interesting the way they did the show and the way Jack Bauer. It, to me, it's Kiefer Sutherland's best role. I love 24 much. It's so good.
He was good in Lost Boys and Time to Kill and Few Good Men. And ironically, you can even find a portrait of from A Few Good Men on his sofa in season 2. So I guess he got trained by Jack Nicholson somehow. But
the show does a good job in kind of making. It's almost like it does a good job of making every episode matter, which says a lot for a show with 24 episodes. I think people had a problem with it as the season went on. It kind of got less and less. Yeah. But it kind of still had that same impact for me in terms of that staying power.
I did too. So disappointed to come by back season now. 8, and I know many people loved it, but I just hated just all that in between bullshit. And despite it having some cool villains, just it adds. And long story short, I did not like Freddie Prinze Jr. and I did not like the repeats of season 2 and 6. I was just like, just because it's an even number season does not mean I have to have an Islamic terror cell and more crooked presidents. And come on. And what's funny is I had other family members who were into it. They had loved season 7. I was introducing them to the first 4 seasons. And they're like, oh, she's a great Madam President. I'm like, she's an idiot. She just hired Logan. If anyone's seen this knows, it's just not something you do. That would be like if you said, hey, I want Mitt Nixon to be my consultant.
Yes, pretty much. It was so much stuff. Like the show that, one of the coolest things about the show, this show is bold. Like, I think it was season 5.
Adrenaline, yeah.
The first episode, they just blew up like Los Angeles.
Oh, that was season 6. Season 5.
That was season 6, yes.
But yeah, season 5, yeah, they go all Godfathers. Like, everyone you know and love, killed in a car wreck.
Season 5 is when Palmer got shot in the first episode, wasn't it?
I still had trouble watching that episode. And then, Tony is dead for 10 seconds before actually dying and then actually coming back at season 7. And then Michelle's toast. She's going to a realtor job and she blows up in her car.
You just reminded me. Like, they were like, how do we top the beginning of season 5? Oh, let's just blow up Los Angeles. I'm like, man. What?
It's something like, you just don't do, man.
It's like, I don't remember what happened yesterday, but I remember the day I was when David Palmer got shot.
I do. I remember that. I remember like sitting at home and being in shock. Like,
commercial free. They were doing all other sorts of things. They would often be after American Idol or a sports game or some shit. So they played into it. They figured out the marketing and they would often have the premiere be commercial free. And then the rest of the time they'd be like, we'll do 2 episodes at a time or some shit like that.
I'm going to say a hot take. They don't do this anymore, especially Fox.
Yeah.
There was a time where Fox had must-see TV.
And they have such lame excuse for it.
Whether it was House.
They've asked for the movie multiple times, and they keep saying it's too expensive. I'm like, this is a worthwhile investment.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you do this?
But Fox in general doesn't really do these type of shows where they're like, well, you have to sit down and like, all right, everybody stop what they're doing. We're watching 24 right now. Or the X-Files. Or this. Right. They kind of lean towards the, okay, here's American Idol. So it's like, not the same.
And then when, I don't know, people have to realize it's also kind of critic proof. It's like, everyone's going to have their take. It's like, just be glad it's on. But I would keep seeing people say, oh, I hate this and that. And we'll get into it even further on. I remember when this premiered, I saw one critic who had never liked the show was like, this show digs its grave. And I was like, yeah, well, I think you need to get laid. He just sounded like, this is the most boring, pretentious show ever. I'm like, well, this just opened with someone getting stabbed in the head and a new terror cell, and they're controlling drones, and it's like, so
yeah, that was cool.
And it helped that there had been some afterwards. I went back. Did any, just before we get into this, did any of you ever read any of the books?
I have two of the books. I read one of them a long time ago.
Yeah, I just bought one of the more recent ones, but there was one I got like after the show, after the season ended, and I was just like, wow, that's a cool carry-on, how he has to hire all these other people. Chase shows up again, gets killed. Mandy shows up again, and he basically bribes to not have him be killed.
Yeah. It's really cool how the books carry on that story. There's a couple of books out there. I think it's like three or four.
I think I got two of them, but I do have the 24 video game.
I have that too.
Yeah. The game was great. Oh my God. Yes.
I love the game. I went and bought back a PlayStation 2 just to play it.
I always wish it could have been an extended video game where you could, like, kind of like Grand Theft Auto, kind of like just decide to sell out your country, be a terrorist or a CTU agent, or do both.
Be really cool.
Play as your favorite character. Fun fact, though, as a result of the game, Tony and Jack definitely have the highest body counts. They get like kill like he kills like, I counted like 500 from a walkthrough one time, and Tony got like 136 because you can choose
that. That sounds not accurate.
Michelle kills like 10 in the takeover. Kim kills like 3. So there's like 3 more to her kill counts. Oh man.
The game is so cool.
It was a lot of fun. And I think everyone just gave it bad reviews because they canceled like the GameCube release and Xbox release, but it could have been a series of fun video games. I would have done that. That would have been fun to just see them continue on it.
Yeah. And
I think Fox just screwed up the marketing. They just didn't know what to do with it. It was just too brilliant for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. It was another season of the show. It was set up another season. Like, here you go.
And I mean, when you're president, I mean, I love The West Wing. Don't get me wrong. It's a pretty awesome show. But that says a lot when 24's president, you know, President David Palmer beats out as everyone's favorite TV president.
That people talk about him on commercials. They're like, hey, that's David Palmer.
Yeah, right. And so around that time, I was also watching, I saw all 4 seasons of The Unit in college. I was seeing other edgy shows like The Wire and The Shield. And so it's like, it's just so cool to see this show. You could get anyone addicted to it because there's actually a purpose to, like you say, each episode. And even when there's something is like, this just does not happen in real life. You're just like, you just shut up and just go along with it. Cause it's not like, say, a crazy Michael Bay or Christopher Nolan movie that you may or may not like. It's more like, it's more to the point of, no, that happened, and see how we're going to top that.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's so well written.
I refuse to watch season 1 because I hated Kiefer Sutherland as an actor.
Uncommon. I had a few other friends who had grown up not liking Lost Boys or some of his other movies he had been in.
I like those movies, but I just didn't like him as an actor, you know.
Oh, good. He had some stinkers, and I have some friends who were the same way with Yellowstone. They didn't like Kevin Costner, but they got hooked on it.
I still need to watch that. People tell me that's great.
Well, my dad watched it and he liked it. And he asked me when season 2 came on if I wanted him to tape it so that I could see it. And I'm like, sure, why not? I'm bored. So he taped it and I watched it. And after the first episode, he said, did you like it? And I'm like, yeah, it was okay. He said, you want me to tape the second one? I'm like, yeah, okay.
Right. Forget. This is before, you know, and Hulu was the worst.
I was going to say that.
They would put up the episodes and then take them down after a few weeks. It's like, that's not enough time.
Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't have the internet or nothing. So
it took them 10 years to finally realize, okay, just have it up all the time. And then they take it down.
Just leave it there.
They were doing it with Bones recently. They were thinking of taking it down, and then they did away with the expiration sign. I'm like, good, because where the fuck else is anyone going to watch this show? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And buying 10 seasons of a show, it just does not happen.
That's why I buy DVDs. Like, I know.
You got to go away 24. I love this. I love them. But there are times where it's just like, sometimes it goes away. And there's other times where it's like, yeah, but this is never leaving Netflix or Hulu. Now, long story short, I sold my DVDs. Then the seller did not want to pay because whoever transported it injured it in the transaction. And I was like, well, fuck it, you can keep it. I'm gonna invest in the Blu-rays, which look better. you gotta pay.
Smart move.
Yeah. Well, they're in Japan though, so they're very expensive, but they're region free. So
there you go.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. That's why I don't get why wouldn't you do an official. The only official Blu-ray releases have been of season 7, 8, and
nine. This
current one, 9, Live Another Day. Legacy, yeah, for whatever reason, you also have to get in Japan. And I'm like, what? Why the fuck would you not put a Blu-ray investment in this? It looks so much better.
We get a bitch slap Disney to get this happening.
Yeah. Mouse has to cough it up. Or maybe the mouse is a terrorist and Jack and Chloe needs to hack into her database. So, oh, really? Me, now you got. I am. Sorry, go ahead.
Now you got me look up these Blu-rays. Now I gotta get this.
Yeah, don't fall victim to the Amazon one. It's like you gotta the only one I could find at a decent deal was the Redemption movie. But yeah, so the Redemption really got me into that.
That was a good movie.
It's so underrated, especially the extended cut where they tell more war stories and detail the cover up a little better. But so riddle me this: if they're not gonna bring it back, would you watch a spinoff with Tony and Chloe?
Yeah.
I think
I watched a prequel.
I was thinking of a prequel, but I just was like, I hate how they would have to recast Jack. So I was just like, I was kind of more torn on that was one that was floating around. And then another one they were floating around for a while was kind of almost sounded like Law and Order meets Homeland, where they were like, let's have a separate set of characters. And basically someone gets a tip that a terrorist is going to bomb like a courtroom setting or some shit. And you got like 12, they would still make use of the 12 episode format. And it's just so funny how both these seasons, they did pretty good at using the 12 episode limited event series. And neither was really kicking all that much ass with the ratings, it seemed. And even though they're doing,
I honestly think that's why Legacy didn't work. Because they didn't have Jack Bauer attached to it at all, really.
Yeah, even though they brought Tony
Legacy
back.
But yeah. I like Legacy, but it wasn't the same.
It was 24.
It was a different story.
Yeah, I mean.
No, that's fine.
I didn't like Legacy.
Fine. This is the fun thing about 24 is like, there are some radical over-the-top fans who take it way too seriously, but for the most part, you can often eventually find a cool person who loved addicting watching. And that's kind of how I was with season 8. I hated the season, but I kept watching it, and I've still re-seen segments of it. So it's like, it is kind of the Star Trek effect. It's like any bad season's better than other shit on TV, but at the same time there are
that moments. Is very true.
It is a predicament, and I think they should just cross it over with Prison Break.
That's a good point.
Schofield's Whitman Miller said he didn't want to come back, so why not Tony and Chloe hang out with the crew? Do another cover up.
Yeah.
Man, I felt like season 9 ended on such a great cliffhanger. I really wanted to see what they were going to go next with that.
Yeah.
So I had one that I was discussing with some other pals. Let's have Jim, Michael Madsen's character, Aaron Pierce, the Secret Service agent, and Tony, Chloe, a few others, bust Jack out of prison. And let's have John Donovan, Jimmy Smith, come back as the president. Eric Carter is his Secret Service agent friend.
I kind of want them to do another season and kind of make Jack Bauer the bad guy. Like, turn him into a sleeper cell.
There you go. So just like Homeland, he's like Brody.
And they're trying to figure out like, damn, how do we get Jack back? Can we get Jack back? Can he be redeemed? Like, hey,
there you go.
It's a terrorist attack to the United States.
Tony
is done by Jack Bauer.
Tony has a Ray Donovan type gig where he's like fixing problems in LA and gets the call. Okay, I guess I'll stop burning bodies. Avenge everybody.
Because I thought it was an awesome ending to the show. Like, hey, now we Russia, we want you back. Now you're coming back with us. What you did was too much. You come back with us. And I think ideally you'll say, okay, Russia probably hasn't been in prison for the rest of his life or they killed him. But I think another cool thing was like, no, your talents are too good. We're going to make you work for us, essentially. I thought that would have been a really interesting way to spin it.
I'm with you. Let's do that. Or, I don't know, let's have him have cancer or something, you know, because David Fury, who had written, you know, he came on because Howard Gordon had worked with him on the Buffy and just other shows together. And he said he was going to send a spec script to Fox very soon when he, you know, during COVID, everyone had to find the encouragement to write. But our friends of our show, Ryan Richardson, hosted an unofficial panel together. You can actually look it up. 20 years of 24. Look it up. You will be so dedicated. I was so angry that it didn't get enough press release. I'm like, guys, what? Why do the fans have to put all this effort into it? And I mean, even the studio execs and creators invited themselves to the thing. But this is like all the actors, all pretty. It was Freddie Prinze Jr. free because apparently he was under the impression that it was going to be his show. And you're like, nope, that's not the deal. But it was kind of unpleasant.
Not at all.
But anyway, so they apparently all the actors all had the same kind of scenario where there's like, we never had a better gig like this ever since. And that wasn't a shit on their other assignments. There's like, this was just such a comforting thing. Everyone telling each other, you're doing good work. You're in an addicting show.
Yeah. Show was just so good, man. It was so memorable.
Yeah. I can't not quote it. There's times where just like someone is angry at work. I'll be like, damn it.
Damn it, Chloe.
Yes. We're running out of time. Wow. So
while watching, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No.
I was going to say while watching Live Another Day, I forgot how much I love this show. Because I was saying, by the time episode 4 came around, I looked at my dad. I'm like, you're recording this.
Yeah. There's no way.
And it got to the point where I would get off of work. I worked at UDF, which was a gas station in Cincinnati. God. But they also
made their own ice cream. Like you did in season 4.
That would have been awesome. I would have been take whatever ice cream you got.
Yes, you can lock me in here. Yes, I'll let you knock me out just this once.
I'm in love with you. I ain't gonna lie. I don't know why. I don't understand these feelings, but yes.
Yeah.
But no, I'll be sitting there with a half gallon of cookies and cream ice cream. And by the time that hour was over with, I'd be done. I'd eat the whole thing. Cause I'm just watching it like, Jack, just shoot him. Shut up. Just shoot him, Jack. You'll get it then. And back then they interrupted the season because, you know, they would play so many episodes and then repeat.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the part. It was the episode 11. I remember this, where they're showing what's happening on the next episode. And it was like, and then it says coming in 3 weeks. And I'm like, what? No. And I rocked it back. Coming in 3 weeks. No. I need my chat, damn it. And Jack. It was 2 a.m. in the morning. I went out to Myers and bought season 1.
Oh.
And you know, season 2 referenced the hell out of season 1.
Yes.
I already knew what happened. But I'm sitting back and I watched the first 11 episodes.
So cool.
That day. And I was still like caught into it. And I'm watching Live Another Day and all those feelings started coming back to where I didn't want this to end. I didn't want the episodes to end. I'm like, I gotta watch this. You know, I'm all excited now. And it was like, you know, I kind of say thank you because I realized how much I missed that show.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Have you watched season 1 like recently? Did watch like season 7 or season 8?
I'm always watching a clip all the time. Yeah.
it's just fascinating how much, like, if you look at season 1 of 24. CTU looks like, all right, this is a set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
static.
This is clearly a set. Like, and then as you go on to like season 3, season 4, you can see, okay, they got a budget now. This looks cool now.
The boom mic keeps getting in the shot. Yeah.
Yes. Jack Kiefer looks really young. He doesn't look like he's necessarily in shape to be Jack Bauer. He just looks skinny.
It makes him miss flip phones. I had other pals who were like, Delta Force my ass. I'm like, yeah, well, suspend reality.
Everybody's on. Yeah, it's just, it's so interesting watching season one. And then even getting to season nine and how everything is so different.
Mm-hmm.
How he's like, Kiefer Sutherland looks like a war-torn veteran, and CTU looks to like the highest levels of technology. It's just such a cool thing to see.
It still looks like it's housed in the garage.
Yes.
You know? Right.
It's like, okay, that's cool. It has all this stuff, but it looks like there could be a Volkswagen right next to Jack.
Yes.
There you go.
There's just one part of the house.
They made good on still using the Ford, endorsement. I just found it even wild how when they're in London, there was a lot of cast and crew who had worked on the similar show Spooks, also known as MI5.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
It's the same kind of deal. It's like fast paced, split screen action. I was already looking forward to it. It's like I saw, okay, wow, Michael Wincott, bad guy from The Crows, and Julian Assange type hacker guy. Oh my God, he's bringing Audrey back. Oh my God. Sarah from Chuck is on the show. And then Chloe's here, but she's got all this emo hair and she's tatted up. And Jabinga, from, it was that one psycho Chris from The Wire's on this. Oh my God.
Yeah. What's the name of the show?
The Wire.
No, not The Wire, the show you're talking about.
I'm talking about 24 when they are in London living another day.
Oh, when they brought it back. When they live another day tomorrow, the last season.
Like Benjamin Bratt's here. What do you know? Heller's now president, William Devane. That's great. And then Catelyn Stark is the main terrorist for an episode. And what do you know? They bring Ching back to torture Jack again. And what do you know? The Russians are also back.
Such a great show. I thoroughly love this show a lot. It's just so many fond memories. And like I said, Living Another Day is great. I think Legacy is really good for what it is. I wish it's Legacy different. Would elite. It's different. I wish it elite more into the legacy of 24.
Yeah.
You know,
Tony should have like come in part earlier, of it probably. Like, you should have come in.
I think part
Eric.
Of the problems is, part of the problem, I think, with the show is the fact that they kind of, it feels like, because that show came out a little bit after the movie Straight Outta Compton.
Okay.
So everyone had...
And you know the guy who...
That's fair, yeah.
You know the guy who plays the main character is from Straight Outta Compton. He was the main character Straight Outta Compton. He played Dr. Dre.
Oh,
yeah.
It felt like they were using 24 Legacy to kind of launch his career off.
Yeah. I think although I did see some fans...
It doesn't
fans
quite work.
It's pretty much focused on the action versus actually making the characters as like, well, I'll give you that. And I think my main issue is I did see some fans who came off as a little bigoted. Like, it's politically correct. There's two guys who are gay. I'm like, there's always been gay characters on here. Oh, there's a black guy. I'm like, well,
yes,
he has a name, you idiot.
The only problem I had is when they just like, all right, we're going to just have this blatant story where he's going to the hood. I'm like, all right, come on.
We didn't have
to do this.
I think my main issue is
out.
I did see some people having issues with like how he has his gangbanger brother bring his friends in to deal with the terrorists. I didn't find that any less implausible than all the other stuff, like people overdosing and I don't know. I've seen way more silliness on 24. I mean, with Kim Bauer and the Cougar. Hello.
That's true.
You know? So, I mean, like, for me,
that was also ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. I some people even had issues with season six CTU takeover. And I was like, I mean, I'll take it over his family being terrorists, but whatever. I mean,
that was fun. I felt like season six was a fun season. I know there was a lot of ridiculous things happening in season six as well.
Yeah. I mean, it was steroid induced. And I had the honor of even interviewing Fayed himself on, Adonai Marapis, and he got to tell me some more stories about that and playing Quan Chi in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, that's cool.
He is a cool guy. Season six often gets overlooked, and it's kind of annoying how other people want to not give season seven as much love because they're like, oh, can't best season five. I'm like, for me, season two and four are like golden. So I mean, and three is like a fun in between that It's like part Miami Vice, part Outbreak. You know?
Yeah, and, I really love, like, I'll go with what you said. I think I like all the seasons. I think that the weakest is probably 8.
Yeah, everyone likes that. But then like, I felt better, and it's just like, I don't know. It's like the Madam President really doesn't do anything, really. And for me, I just hated everyone who worked there at CTU, even though McKelty Williamson and Katie Sackhoff are great actors. You know, that's Starbuck being a traitor, and that's Bubba being the boss.
Didn't work.
It's just like CSI New York, but in 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I mean, do you think this makes use of the London setting at all?
I'll just go, Tim.
Well, if I'm correct, Live Another Day's plot was the same plot they were working on the movie for. Because they were trying to develop
sense. A movie. Yeah.
And it was going to take place in London.
So. It was going to cross over with Die Hard. Instead, they just decided, no, let's not cross the other around. I'm like, that was a missed opportunity. That would have been fun.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, all in all, I thought, I mean, to me, this show can't do wrong. I don't care. I know it's escapist entertainment. So I know what I'm watching is just going to be fun. Just shut up and go for the ride.
And you're actually emotionally invested in the implausibility. Yeah. That's what's different from all the other, you know, explosions.
and that was the problem I had with Legacy, was that I wasn't emotionally invested in the main character. Which I guess because of season 2, it starts off with him like already messed up. Because his wife got shot, spoilers, and he's separated from everything. But this guy was just like, hey, I killed a terrorist, and now these guys are killing other people, so let's go.
His special forces buddies are kind of annoying. It would have just been better to just tie it in. Hey, I know someone who can help me. And boom, it's Tony Almeida. Mm-hmm. I think I will give props to Simon and Simon star Joel McRaney for, you know, him also from Deadwood and Jericho as playing the dad. But how stupid. They couldn't decide at first. It's like, they originally casted Alien star Veronica Cartwright as Jimmy Smith's mother. I'll just call him by the character John Donovan. And I was already down because I love Jimmy Smith. He's just a charismatic man. Mm-hmm. He already played the president on West Wing. That shit wrote itself. But then it's just like, let's have Veronica Cartwright play his mother. Oh, let's delete the scene because it doesn't make sense. I'm like, well, did you not read the script? He's Mexican American, supposedly. So I don't know why they had to have that discussion, but I love how you open up. He's at a fundraising party, and then kind of like the Palmers, he's got his dad has other plans and has crooked oil salesmen and everything. And he's just like, I always hated when your mother played that music. He was like, damn, okay, dad. And then he's trying to justify, I'll turn myself in if you get elected. Like, okay.
Yeah. My biggest problem with Gerald McRaney is that he's 10 years older than Jimmy Smits.
I did not know that.
Yes.
He's just looked so old to me.
Yeah, true. Even in Simon and Simon, he looked older than 30. But I could not divorce myself from that. I'm like, what? Did you have him at 10?
I guess.
I mean, when he was in fifth grade, were you like just getting out of high school? Come on.
Yeah, underage sex, I guess.
I mean, if he's from my neighborhood, that is a possibility.
Right. Been using religion to cover it up. It is kind of wild that whenever asked about where Jack is like Kiefer's often said, the show has a conservative background. He's kind of a liberal kind of character, but he basically doesn't even have any religion. And he probably doesn't even vote at any politics because he doesn't trust anybody. It's just so wild here how
I would love.
Go ahead.
I would love to see Jack Bauer at a voting box. Voting in elections and stuff.
Oh my God. He always imagined.
You know, now you're giving me an idea for a sketch.
There you go. I always thought there should be a YouTube parody series called The Torture Hour. Someone should play Jack Bauer, and someone else should be like torturing all these infamous celebrities or something, like Steven Seagal is getting tortured. Why do you do these awful movies where you beat people up for real on set? Why?
I don't I don't do awful movies. They're good movies.
All right. Wrong answer.
Yes.
Oh, that really hurts. Oh. Yeah. I'm going to have a heart attack now.
Better yet, start it off as like the Jack Bauer interview.
And then yes, there you go.
Somebody being tortured. It's like, wrong answer.
There you go. And then he cancels the interviewee or the interviewer. Yeah. Is it Charlie Rose? You've done some inappropriate stuff. I need to just step down and face prison time. Oh, Jesus. CNN, not telling real news. Fox News, you're canceled. MSNBC, stop making us feel good. That's not the reality. Oh, man. So it is kind of shame how they there's so many other characters I wish they could have brought back in some way. Like, I feel like they did not need to kill Curtis. He could have come along. So I take it basically, yes. Aaron Pierce is nursing Martha Logan back to health. I'm sure, you know, had Chloe not been along for the hacking thing, you know, I don't know where else she would have been. It's funny how you mentioned season three, because when rewatching it, you want to talk season one having some stuff that's a little stilted before it gets exciting. There are some moments in season three where I'm like, yeah, Chloe doesn't sound really any different than the Chloe we later know. She's nervous 1 minute and then intense and then kick ass in 1 minute, where she takes a security guard's gun and says, I don't want to have to kill you. So there's just a lot of season three. Who could have imagined? It's like they didn't give her anything to do, but they learned real fast what to give her to do. It's like she's got to disable viruses. And apparently when they did actually go to Washington, D.C., they were briefed on the FBI. It's like, you guys do exactly what takes us like 2 weeks to do in 1 day. So,
yeah,
I think
one thing I love that they kept with Chloe is that she always looked annoyed.
Yeah,
from the first time you see her till 24, I mean, it's odd when I see her smile.
Well, and the actress didn't expect to even get that gig. She was a comedian, you know, on Mr. Show, yeah. And Larry Saunders, and here she is working with all these suspenseful guys who have done all kinds of low grade and high grade Canadian and American syndicated shows.
Yeah, I think as the show went on, people realized, I guess the creators realized how popular her character was, and like, yeah, we need to write her some more stuff.
But that is annoying. How you got to remind everyone is like, have a character is not just a talking space. Have them count for something.
Yeah, it's kind of like Arrow, where when they had Felicity and Arrow, and they're like, oh,
that was just a one-off character. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they're like, oh, we really like this character. We're going to put her in every episode. That's kind of the same thing.
Well, you know what? I think it was season three where they lost her for several episodes, where in the show they ended up taking her, like arresting her, and then she came back. She actually left the show because she was doing a sketch comedy show on Fox with, what's his name? Frasier.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yeah. It must have been terrible.
It only lasted like five episodes
because she came right back.
It was like right when the show was over with, they brought her back and he signed her to a full term contract. Good back, just like a partial contract or something.
Well, and
he had a star,
totally. And a lot of the filmmakers struggled to have as big a career afterwards. They could only get TV, and they're like, no, I don't want a boring CSI type knock off. I want to do something where it's all confined. And it just showed you that it was just hard to mix it all together sometimes, you know. Just get everyone happy.
Let me ask you both a question.
Yes.
Okay,
what show kind of took the place of 24 after 24 was over?
What do you mean?
For you guys, for a while, I know it wasn't the same as 24, but like, all right, now we don't have 24 and I need something to fill that void. Because I have two that I used to help me a lot.
Let's hear it. I mean.
Okay. The first one, completely different from 24, but I think it's an excellent show. Everybody should check out Luther, with Edge's album.
Ooh, yes. Yeah. Good point. Yes.
Really good show. It's a very character-driven, very serial killer of the week type show that's really good. I highly recommend it. Another show that's very similar to 24, Person of Interest.
Yeah, Person of Interest definitely took the place for that for a while. Strike Back, Banshee, definitely Ray Donovan. That, another huge shout out, Power.
Power's good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's four of them. You love this whole universe. And I mean, they said that was like the highest watched shows, but like I know many women and even white demographics who watch it. It's up there with The Wire, and it's taking the Sopranos and Oz kind of territory where people love seeing world building. People want more than just superheroes. And I mean, Homeland, I see some 24 fans dish, and other times I even see Homeland fans dish 24 fans. I'm like, they're two sides of the same coin. In fact, they even have and Tyrant are all produced by Howard Gordon's and his writers. But what's funny is they all have the same fictional like news station. So they're kind of in the same universe, if you think about it. But
they feel like they're in the same universe. Yeah.
Homeland was good. Lately, it's been Bosch and Star Trek Strange New Worlds and The Expanse. But I can't write enough great stuff about Homeland, because I literally would have to force myself to stop watching an episode. I'm like, it's 4 a.m. I got to stop now. There were times where family members would get hooked in it, and then they had to stop. You're like, it's just too intense. It goes even more morbid than 24 at times. You know, even Dexter didn't dare to go there. Yeah,
Homeland's a good show.
I got to check it out then.
It's really good.
You're dealing with everything. But like Jack, people love the Carrie Matheson character because we are on their side instantly. We know they're not proud of where they ended up. We know they're good at doing stuff that no one considers normal. Their family basically disowns them, wants to take away their kids. You know, it's just, and again, you know, they know everything before it happens. And, you know, in Carrie's case, she's got sexist coworkers, people who think she's a nut. So just like Jack, you're like, yeah, you know. You're brainwashed, you're a monster. It's like, just listen to me for 1 minute and put aside your personal opinion. I'm telling you, something bad's gonna happen at this embassy, you know, in Egypt. Yeah. You know, and
it's a really good show.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, for me, the show that replaced 24 in the sense I became a huge fan of it and got really invested in it was BoJack Horseman.
Ooh, yeah,
great show.
Yeah.
That's a morbid kind of comedy, you know, and it's not, it's people cry at episodes, people laugh like no tomorrow at them. It's so true that people, when it came out, are like, okay, it's a cheaply anime cartoon. It's like, no, there's more to this. This is not the billionth Simpsons South Park knockoff. This is,
it's like I kept telling people, when you watch season one, just watch past the first six episodes.
Yeah,
the people were just watching the first six and like, okay, I know what this is. Like, no, it takes a dramatic right turn in episode 7, and it doesn't let you go to like the last episode of the series.
Yeah, it can't afford to have you let it go. And I mean, if you want to even look at 90s groundbreaking shows, I definitely recommend everyone. I know you'll have to pursue physical media since they're not on streaming, but definitely check out Homicide: Life on the Street and even Millennium, I think.
Oh, God, yes.
Those shows are much like Person of Interest. Millennium. People looked at them at hindsight, and they're like, oh, it's just another whatever. It's like, no, it's not one and done. People wanted to imitate its style. NYPD Blue is still very edgy and just as good as any of the Chicago Fires or FBI shows. But you mentioned a good one. I mean, Person of Interest, I think, much like Criminal Minds, and Dexter, when people looked at it at hindsight, they just thought, okay, it's just dead body examinations. It just showed how everyone was so spoiled by rediscovering giallo horror and CSI type stuff that they thought, okay, it's following a formula. It's like, it'll follow a formula, but some of them are kind of being like House and 24, where they're, and even Bones, where they're going to have a serialized recurring deal. Yes, inevitably there might be a filler episode, but then there is going to be a, oh wow, I haven't seen anything that shocking in a while since like maybe Tales from the Crypt. There's a crazy a twist at the end of this episode that I got to rewatch and listen with a commentary on. Babylon 5, I think, was kind of much like 24, where it was kind of a word of mouth and people were having to record it. And it, much like 24, you know, it did embrace DVD in its second you know, era basically. But I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who definitely reference it once in a while. I mean, the guy who played Renee, Annie Wersching, she's had so many recurring roles on many other TV shows. She's now on the new Star Trek Picard as the Borg Queen. But she was on an episode of The Closer, which was a cool like five-parter. And not only was Bill Buchanan playing a crazy white supremacist terrorist, but she was playing a federal agent who used to work for CTU. I'm like, nah, I was like, I see what they did there. One of the writers had also written for NCIS in 24. And I was like, yeah, get every reference you can. but yeah, there's definitely some love for it. I thought Blindspot was kind of a 24 Born Identity tribute at times. There's a federal agent.
Yes, someone. It was.
Now that one I thought suffered from, much like The Good Wife, the actors did not get along behind the scenes and it just showed too often on set. So half the time the episode was just like a lot of meandering drama followed by a pretty cool shootout at the end, you know, with gory headshots. I am a huge Law and Order fan, and that's another one where depending on how into crime shows depends on your thing, but I've always grown to like all the various badasses and interrogations, but it depends. That much like Star Trek, it depends also on which version of it you've seen. So, I mean, I think everyone's just afraid to take a chance because they just, every time they take a chance, even if they get good ratings, they either don't get an Emmy win or they don't get the ratings. They just have not figured out how to give residuals for streaming numbers, and they haven't figured out how to, again, embrace taking a proper chance. And or it's just, again, like the first season is good and they just can't top it. They get too brilliant and they write themselves into a corner. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah. That happens a lot.
What are
Stranger
your
things?
Oh yeah. I can't get into that show, but I know many love it. Who was the most WTF casting on this? There was many other actors on here who were like on Born Identity and Strike Back that were like playing the Joint Chiefs. And I was like, wow. There's even one gal here who's now on the new Star Trek show. And I was like, man, this is like everybody's having something to do. I guess the only issue I have with the CIA and like Live Another Day is it's really not all that different than CTU. Kind of would have liked to have a different
same thing.
Yeah. So that was my main issue, is like they should have had different edits and set design for that. But at the same time, I think they were so focused on just making it be fast paced still. I did like how they had General Coburn was played by Colin Salmon. He's the bald black handsome guy who you've seen on plenty of other shows like Master of None, and
yes, I know
he's the mentor on Arrow and Resident Evil, and he was Charles.
He's
Robinson
in every like show like that,
right?
Playing that similar role.
And a lot of people forget that he's M's like assistant, like Charles Robinson in the Pierce Brosnan James Bond movies. But I've always been a fan. I always thought he was cool. Yeah. He's amazing. You want to talk Luther? He's amazing in Prime Suspect season two. Yeah, I'm glad that they gave him a little screen time, even though he's basically just barking orders into a headset on the screens. But I was just glad they brought Ching back. It was like, of course, that's like the only guy who got away with murder. He's got to come to this. And I like how they were even arguing about how graphic they could do it on TV. And they're like, we're going to show the full decapitation. No one on Fox cares. It's after 9. No one cares. You can show all kinds of violence and gore. It just can't be any buttocks or F-bombs.
Yeah, it was like they'll show it once, and then the next episode, when they do the recap, they conveniently cut it out.
You're right. There's plenty of episodes like that where it's like, yeah, there's plenty of shows that it only got played once on TV, and if it got syndicated, they cut away or censored a word, or like SNL, where they would censor out Down syndrome in some episodes, or just not show the music guests because they were offensive.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that way. SNL.
Yeah. Interesting. They'll actually replace sketches, like when the show reruns, when that same episode reruns, they'll actually be different sketches.
The 1985 season is banned from ever re-airing. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, it's not on Peacock.
Right. Not coming to Peacock in 2020. Oh man.
Huh.
So
I would have never known that.
No, for me, the biggest what the F casting. I was watching Live Another Day, and I realized John Boyega was on it. The guy who played Finn from the Star Wars. I'm like, oh, he was in 24.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
I thought his performance was actually pretty good here, because I mean, it's the worst possible thing. It's the perfect crime. He's angry. He hates his sergeant. Next thing you know, the terrorists are hacking into his terminal and making his targeting system on the drone, you know, fire at someone. You're like, what did you do? I've already this close to writing you up. I'm writing you up now. And I love how Jack just breaks into his interrogation room. He's like, tell me everything you know. I'm going to clear your name.
Yeah. And he does.
And he believes him, because he's like, not just anyone. Yeah. No one's ever stood up for me. So let's hope that Jack Bauer breaks into your office one day and, you know, bites your boss's ear off and breaks you out of there, fugitive style. I just
watching Live Another Day.
Oh. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was watching Live Another Day, and I remember that scene where Conan O'Brien hosted the Emmy Awards, and they did a bit with 24 where it was Jack and Chloe talking to each other. Then all of a sudden, Conan comes on.
Yeah, that was a great Emmy bomb.
I remember that.
And he's like, I'm Jack Bauer. He's like, Kiefer. And while I was watching it.
Oh, man. And he keeps just trolling him. He's like, get off this line. No, I'm a king of late night TV. Oh, man. I wish Conan could just showed up briefly as like a weapons dealer or something. That would have been great. They apparently, when they showed him going to the restroom and eating in season one, they got some notes. They're like, no, I don't want any semblance. And I'm like, that was a missed opportunity, because now we, the viewer, have to fill in the blanks that, okay, so Jack Bauer getting knocked out counts as sleep.
Yeah.
Passing out from gas or whatever. Yeah. I wish they kind of could have ended it on season 7. He gets infected with a virus and then maybe came back as Super Jack and Russians were still going after him. But it is wild how, I mean, again, just Sarah from Chuck is playing Kate in Live Another Day, and she's having to be all serious, and she feels so bad at the end when she fails to save Andre, and is like, man, we were just getting comfy. Of course, Andre wasn't going to come back for long. You know? And I'm sorry. I just love when Jack Bauer goes all Rambo. He's like, oh,
yes.
How can you not? Oh, man.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking in a bit, because I've always seen Jack subdue somebody, but like turn them over to CTU. And then he's like, you know, no, the pleasure I'm going to get is watching you die, and tossing people out the window. And I'm like, that's not Jack. That's awesome.
My father, my father gut busted left when we were watching it live. And, you know, they got the Margot's terrorist daughter in crime, you know, in holding. And he's having to instruct the doctors, wake that bitch up. We are done reading rights and everything. She already like ran over a few people and shot security guard. I need to know how to disable the conduit so I can kill her idiot hacker boyfriend and brother in crime. And I just busted out of an embassy. And I love how they're so intimidated by him. They're interrogating him. And he's like, I've already done all this type of terrorist things. I'm used to all this pain sustaining. So you can keep belting it out. I'm just going to wait for you to show your hand so I can knock you out. And I love how I thought that was cool, though, how they had Steve, you know, the other big shot, wanting to take all the credit. Next thing you know, oh, he accepted some blackmail. He decided, no, I'm going to sell out my country. Good old, just another day at the CIA. It was like, yeah, because Benjamin Bratt is like the king of just always being the traitor on occasion, and or the anti-hero. And he's like, man, okay, so he now he's in the chair. He was already intimidating Jack like hours before. Now he's in the chair, and he does the same thing to Jack. He's like, nope, I'm not going to break either, man. I'm no exception. But did you think that Michael Wincott, you know, as Hacker Adrian, was going to be a bigger name, a bigger deal? I thought he was going to be the main culprit, come back as like the tertiary.
I did too.
But no, he gets blam, gunshot to the head. Chloe's horrified.
And that's kind of 24 style.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know who's
going to. You think it's going one direction. In fact, it flips on you.
I didn't know that he was in the crew. I was looking at him like I knew him. But until you mentioned it, I didn't know it was that guy from the crew.
Fun fact, his brother Jeff Wincott is a martial artist. He was like a B-movie action star. Was also in season 2 and got capped. He's one of the guys who tortures Jack Bauer when he's butt-ass naked and, you know, has to revive his heart. So, yeah.
I remember that.
Runs in the family, man. BN 24, get capped. So I just thought it was cool because around that same time, he and the guy who played Amador, the British guy unleashing the ricin virus in season 3, were in a Western with Kiefer and his dad called Forsaken. So it was pretty much a who's who. If you're a friend of mine, you're going to be on the show. Yeah. I'd say it's a pretty cool return. And in my mind, Jack has to come back and he has to go after the remaining terror cell that was January 6th. Too close to home, I know. He'll go for it.
Oh, I would love it.
But yeah, he should go after like just all these other guys. He should find the actual creator of ISIS, who's like a crooked head of state. Oh, man. We can bring it back with fans. We can do an audio drama, just make it happen. But I tried doing a fan film.
I would love a 24 audio drama.
Yeah. All right. Then I know who to call. I'll call you guys up.
Yeah.
So Legacy, I mean, if they want to bring Eric back, I'm cool with it, but actually give him something to do. But I think what did it for me was just the Tony storyline. I just dug how he was having to redeem himself. He's actually in Live Another Day's Blu-ray special feature where they show him getting away, but most didn't see that if they didn't buy the Blu-ray. And I was just like, they should have just aired that on Fox TV anyway before the show began. Because it was kind of a missed opportunity not having him in season 8. So that was like one extra season I had to wait. I'm like, ah, bring Tony back. I get that he betrayed everything he fought for, but that was what was interesting. He was kind of the Punisher, and Jack is having to put him on a leash.
And he was somewhat right about what he was saying.
Right. He's having to go after all the tycoons who was like no one was able to touch prior, and it all ties in with Peter Weller's villain in season 5. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's when I started getting into Legacy. When I started getting into the Legacy was because Tony showed up.
And yeah,
that was cool.
It was like, this is a character I know and I'm invested in. Okay, let's see what's going on here. And then the rest of the show, I have no complaints about. Even the guy, the lead guy.
Eric,
thank you.
Let's just call him Dre.
Carter.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Aaron Carter, but yeah, Corey Hawkins, Dre. I think I was mainly interested in Eowyn. You know, Miranda Otto from Lord of the Rings. Like the main CTU head. And I just
thought it would be great if Golem was in there.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You can play a terrorist. Yeah. And so all these other actors, they've done all other sorts of things. I thought it was interesting how Dan Bukansky from Will and Grace was the hacker guy. One thing that they kind of introduced, but they didn't do enough of, is they had that one Middle Eastern gal and what was her name? I'm looking her up. I know that's why it's not as great a season. We don't remember all the names. They're kind of season 8. I thought it was cool. Bailey Chase was the main head of the field ops. You know him from Longmire. But yeah, Sheila Vaughn was Nella, and she was like, no, that's not her. My bad. Coral Pina, that's who it was. Mariana, she was the cousin of Edgar. And it was like, they could have played that up more. Like they could have shown a picture of Edgar and she's like, for Edgar. But yeah, Ashley Thomas, he's a cool British actor playing Eric's, you know, gangbanger older brother, Isaac. And you've seen him on Top Boy. Teddy Sears is another one who was on The Flash and Rosalie and Isles. Okay. And he's been all, he's been that guy, guest star actor, a bunch of legal stuff, a bunch of go-to stuff. But this is actually kind of was my introduction to him. But Anna Dupp is also, who plays the wife, she has been on Titans.
Okay.
She plays Corey.
Who's she? Oh, yeah. She's what, Starfire in Titans.
Yep. So
yeah, I almost forgot about that.
But yeah, Ashley was also recently on the the Amazon horror mystery show. Totally recommend if you love shows like Lovecraft Country.
That show is dark.
It is so morbid, and we've all had an experience
it's
like that.
Morbid. Yeah. It's rough.
It's rough.
It's not for the faint of heart. I will say that.
Oh yeah, I can't rewatch episode 4 with the baby death. I'm like, yes. Oh man. Something like that definitely happened in real life.
Yeah.
Another fun fact of a who's who, I kind of grinned when I saw the main villain in Live Another Day. He's like the director of national intelligence. I was like, hey, James Moses Black, he's done a lot of voiceovers. He's one of the bad guy henchmen, scientists, and Logan. But really what did it for me was having the second time a giant mummy actor had been on the show. You know, we already had Arnold Vosloo himself, you know, in season 4 playing Marwan, but when they had Odin Farr as Asim, as the second in command, he was having a change of heart once his kid gets kidnapped. I was like, that was interesting. We're having another terrorist in the gray. You know, he already did a great killing on Sleeper Cell and Resident Evil. And here he is, you know, another hard to figure out character. Isaac's girlfriend, I recognize Tiffany Hines. You might know her from Nikita.
Mm-hmm.
The main scumbag I just kind of loved hating was kind of the senator uncle and political operative who was crooked, Daniel Zacapa. You might remember him as like one of the reporters on Hill Street Blues. He's been in all other sorts of things.
Hill Street Blues, that's a name I've heard.
Yeah, the start of the gritty character dramas. But yeah, he's been another go-to playing a lawyer or a cartel guy. And I was just like, man, of course he's going to knock the dad out and try and kill the president incumbent. but yeah, I mean, there just should have been a little more Tony. I was cool with where he was. I love how he's in a fight with Eric and he's like, you broke my damn arm. Just got it fixed.
You didn't leave me a choice.
And I'll give even kudos to the directors on this. Nelson McCormick and John Cassar return. They even brought back Stephen Hopkins, who came up with the whole split screen to begin with from season 1. You know, he had been a big movie thriller horror director on like Nightmare on Elm Street 5, Predator 2. And I'm just glad that they brought him back, because I definitely felt that I hadn't really felt since season 1, or it's like just instant urge. So you show him at home, and the next thing you know, there's a car chase taking place. I was glad that they brought him back. But like you say, we'll never really know what's next, because basically, you know, Corey's back doing movies. Don't get me wrong, he's still in some fun movies, but he was in that one Michael Bay movie. God, what was it? It was Six Underground, yeah. And then he was in, you know, Kong Skull Island and Black Klansman. I still think he's a pretty badass guy, and I'm glad he at least got his moment. The sun is just, he and Jack need to team together, but unfortunately, it's kind of like Born Legacy, believe it or not, coincidentally, could have had Jeremy Renner and Matt Damon team up, and it's just, it didn't make
which would have made sense.
It got mixed reviews and didn't get as, you know, that one didn't make as much money, and in this case, it didn't get as much ratings. So it's just like, we'll never know if it could have evolved a bit, but I like Corey.
Yeah, he's good.
He needs some more badass moments to share. But he's apparently in the new Macbeth movie with Denzel, so I'll check that out on Apple TV soon.
Is that out already?
Yeah, it was an online only movie, I think.
Okay. I'll check it out then.
I still haven't seen it. I got so much on my plate. I've been catching up on all these damn shows.
Oh, Oh, geez.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I want to rewatch 24 right now, but I know I'll just put myself even further behind and be like, I want to.
Yes.
Like, quiet boy Jack's on. Don't interrupt me.
Don't interrupt me.
This is daddy time.
Daddy, daddy, daddy.
Daddy, why are you naked? Shut up, boy.
Shut up, boy.
You'll understand when you're older. Go away.
Well, see, and you guys were mentioning season six earlier. That's where I get why I like that in season four, is, and especially more. That and Live Another Day and most of season five and seven and Live are Kim Bauer free. Thank God. Yeah,
that's,
I'm sorry. Okay. Nothing against the actress. She's doing her job. It's just as one of those characters where it's like minimize. Just minimize. Yeah. She's not giving anything interesting to do. I don't want to see her.
I liked Kim. I thought they could have done a lot more with her when they finally aged her, you know, matured her, and she was working.
There's an extended season seven scene, which is way better, and they cut it for time. I'm like, you idiot. What was else was more interesting that episode?
It got kind of stupid when she was trapped in the woods, that bear trap, and that tiger or cougar was coming after her.
Yeah.
But basically, though, you would have to kill her if you wanted to draw Jack out. That would probably be the only thing making him come out of the prison cell and want to live again.
Yeah, pretty much.
They hint on it in the books where that's why the Russians target his family while he's already on the run and wanted by all the federal outlets. And he ends up having to like knock some of them out, and Kim's like fiance also helps him, and he distracts him. And of course he says, once again, I'm not getting on that plane. They know where I am. So I got to draw him away. So yeah, if he gets close to her, there's no point. But that would be a hell of a way to start it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How would you start a season of 24? Because it seems like most of the time everybody is just often, you know, we've already done car explosions. We've done kidnappings. How would you start it? Because, I mean, Criminal Minds was pretty good at always starting with a different serial killer every week, but instead of the usual CSI, I swear I didn't kill him.
I would start it with the episode, like, you know, it would be Legacy, of course. So Eric is doing this thing. He finds out about this big terrorist attack and everything's going on and things like that. He's hunting down the terrorists. So, but at the end of the episodes, as the episode's ending, Eric has a terrorist caught. He says, freeze, get out, CTU. And then you just see the guy turn his face into Jack fucking Bauer. Yeah. He's like, holy shit. And then he's like, Eric looks shocked as fuck. And then Jack shoots at him and it cuts the episode off.
Damn, it's pretty cold.
You're like, what the fuck? Jack's a terrorist? And like, just everybody's like, what the fuck's going on? And Eric doesn't know what the fuck is going on. We just know that Jack's like almost like Winter Soldier almost. Like, we just see
universe.
Jack Bauer's a bad guy. And Dolph, he's the cause of all these problems.
There you go. The head terrorist is Dolph Lundgren. And, I don't know. Who would be the president?
That would be cool if they brought Dolph Lundgren as a bad guy. That would be really cool.
Expendables actors in and have them cross over. Lionsgate and Fox.
Yeah. Have Jean-Claude Van Damme as the president.
That's pushing it. He should be the main terrorist, the secondary terrorist.
I think they're doing another Expendables movie.
They are.
It's coming out this year.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
They're passing the torch to Jason Statham, so there you go. That would be cool.
Oh, okay.
Well, hell, I mean, Strike Back was kind of a similar show. I mean, I like the terrorist idea, though, because that would actually be a better version of The Blacklist. I know a lot of people like The Blacklist. That was one where it's just like, I love you, James Spader. You're very similar to Kiefer, where you're just good at playing with everyone, the viewer's emotions. But I just hate the main FBI chick and the other guy who's basically goes around and defuses bombs, but I don't care about him. So I have no connection. But yeah, this would be like a better version of like lesser seasons of Dexter. And yeah, The Blacklist is like, he just shows up. I will say the FBI shows do a pretty good job. And fun fact, Zico Zaki, who was the drone operator in Legacy, is like, he's now the main guy on there. The Middle Eastern
agent.
Yeah. he plays OA, and Carlos Bernard has actually got him to direct a bunch of those episodes. So yeah, Tony Almeida, he's directing.
That's cool.
And John Cassar directed probably the most emotional one. It was like the second to last one this season. And yes, someone got poisoned. Oh, that was intense. But yeah, that they're all working out there, and it is a shame that, much like many of these shows, is like everyone's having to just collect all the sets and just find a good time to binge them, because they're pretty damn cool for what they are. And
oh yeah,
I just like
how still they have all my.
Yeah, I'll buy them again eventually. Oh. I just like how every once in a while you would see them pop up and you're like, oh, but they played a similar role like on that. It's like Carlos Bernard was on a Brunotis episode playing an ex-con trying to go straight. It's like, yeah, Tony, living the life, man. I still light up anytime I see Michelle Destler actress Rico Islesworth. I'm like, hey, her.
Yeah.
Of course she's playing a therapist. Of course she's playing a doctor. Oh. She's playing somebody who I trust with my life. But Tony was recently on the recent Lincoln Lawyer show, so heavily recommend that.
Oh, that's cool.
There's a lot of mini supporting 24 actors who are on Bosch, and I definitely recommend that. Those are both Michael Connelly adaptations. Those books are very awesome. But I think Bosch works because it's just a similar kind of just making use of every minute, every bit of time. And just that gotcha twist at the end. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Someone just broke into the main character's house. Someone just got arrested after solving a crime. What's going on here? But in the right kind of moment without just being WTF, where you're like, eh, okay, now they're just trying too hard just to get my attention.
Yeah, that's the thing common with a lot of shows. That's how shows honestly jump the shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too many of them.
Sorry. I was gonna say, speaking of WTF, have anybody seen the remake shows, like 24 India?
I was able to see Japan? Yeah, so fun fact, you can get the Indian version on region free DVDs off of eBay. I was able to watch most of season one. Sometimes the subtitles didn't always line up, but it was so cool because they gave it to Anil Kapoor, you know, who had played the Indian diplomat in season one, and he, or so I say, the fictional Indian country. But yeah, I just like how he loved it so much he brought it over to his neck of the woods. He and Kiefer joked that he would have Kiefer pop up there, you know, because he wasn't doing anything in between. He was doing other Indian movies, but that was a missed opportunity. But I loved how he did get some serious critical acclaim. He won like the Golden Globe Emmy equivalent for this show that first year. Because Colors is like owned by Fox. And so, yeah, it was like, awesome. If you can use it to launch your career over there, that's pretty awesome. It's kind of like the one Egyptian guy who was like a guest on Jon Stewart's show and did his own version of The Daily Show. You love it when someone can take your formula and actually do your own version and not. I think my main issue is it was so close to season one, but it was also, I'm so familiar with over-the-top action movies that I recognized a few of them from some non-musical Bollywood actioners. And they had a good cast. The only real difference is they're more gangsterish as opposed to war criminals, the bad guys. So that was kind of cool. The main Nina Trader gal is actually technically kind of takes the place of Michelle, so she never betrays Jack. She's just questioning at first. But season two kind of followed some similar stuff. But yeah, I gotta applaud him for doing that. I haven't seen 24 Japan. I have not been able to find any clips or episodes on it online.
I got all of them.
Was it on a torrent site?
No, I had to go to a different site. All right. But it's subtitled except for the last two episodes, so I got to.
That's okay. That's when all the explosions.
What I saw of it, it's pretty good. I mean, it's takes the same script. Like India, the first hour is basically the exact same thing as the original 24 season one.
I'm just glad that they at least like credited the writers of season one. So,
yeah,
and in fact, it's actually kind of, I'll applaud him even more. I like how it kind of begins with Anil Kapoor's, he has a badass name, Jai Singh Rathod. And yeah. Like, he opens he opens up and he's like congratulating his daughter with a bird, you know, happy birthday to you. That's the only thing sung in English. But yeah, I wasn't surprised to see them do a 24 Japan since they already done like Criminal Minds Japan. Actually, no, I think it was South Korea. But yeah.
Oh.
Everybody's
having a little aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have actually liked to see a Criminal Minds 24 crossover.
That would be cool.
Morgan and what's his name? Prentice could be in there, and Jack could be like, no, don't do it. You're giving the incel serial bomber what he wants.
I always wanted to see a Criminal Minds Psych crossover.
Oh, yes.
I thought that would be great. Yeah.
Garcia could get him. There you go. Garcia, Chloe, and Gus and Lassie and Sean.
Yes. That would be great.
In fact, I'll even go a step further. If there is another addicting show, I actually highly recommend A Million Little Things, which stars Sean from Psych, but he does a few kind of cues to it. Every once in a while, I'll see the gal who plays Maggie on that was recently in Psych movie number 2. And and what's funny, there is one episode where he's meets a magician. He's like, "That sounds like someone I know." I was like, "Wow, that's pretty meta." But it's pretty cool. A lot of people for a while were doing the whole kind of like with Power and Empire was doing the versus match, and it wasn't needed. They were doing the whole This Is Us and Minimal Things versus match. I'm like, see, I haven't seen any of This Is Us. I've seen all of Minimal Things because it's kind of the St. Elsewhere thing where it's just like you wonder how weirder it's going to get. And when it gets weirder, then it hits you and the emotion's all earned. And so for that is why I've been watching it all these last 4 years and why it's been pretty edgy and gritty. And I'm literally will be laughing uncontrollably one episode. And then the next minute, I'm like, ooh, that got dark.
Oh, check that out, dude.
So this has been a delight having all of you on here. And Delvin, you're doing great things with your experience show. I really dug the Black version of Thanksgiving episode and even Black Folklore Horror. That's been great. Yeah. Just getting your perspective, and obviously you're a great judge on who would win. And
thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, that is very true.
Is Ray one of the terrorists of 24?
Probably.
Oh man. What do you have upcoming that you'd like to promote? On your round table.
Just check out the Delvin Cox Experience, working on a lot of different things. A lot of different episodes that's gonna be really interesting in the next couple of weeks. Definitely check it out.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I love the tease.
Yeah, it's some heavy content coming up in the next couple of weeks. I don't want to spoil it, but like
I'm look out for it. Podbean, I'm going logging into downloads now.
Yeah.
I'll search you out. Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
Definitely.
Alrighty, Tim. Anything you would like to promote in any way, shape, or form? It doesn't have to be a podcast.
Well, yeah. My TV show, Something Suave Theater. We're on OSI 74. If you have a Roku, download OSI 74. Or you can just website www.osi74.com. Click Trash Night. Search for Something Suave Theater.
That's right. Theater. Yes, that's where I saw you sharing some of those videos. Yes. Cool.
Yeah.
Something Suave Theater.
Yeah, Something Suave Theater.
Yeah.
Okay.
We play movies.
Yeah.
Try to pay. I season one was kind of a mix between the public access and stuff filmed for OSI.
So yeah, it's kind you of got a, your cool Spinguli Elvira Mystery Science Theater kind of formula going.
Yeah, but then now it's just like we introduce the movie. Sometimes we don't even do that. And then we make the host segments just like completely wild. We're going to film an episode here shortly where Disney is going to buy OSI 74. And my show is the last show to be vetted. And so I'm happy, and my co-host Richard hates the fact I'm happy, so he sabotages the deal.
Oh, very meta. And very fourth wall breaking.
Yeah.
But no, that's cool, because it seemed like for a while everyone was relying on just YouTube or Twitch to share video series. So that's cool that you got it on Vudu, because I'm finding more and more people are actually buying digital movies and content and streaming stuff on there. I'm
trying to find a way to get it on Vudu or even Amazon Prime, but you got to kind of have subtitles.
Subtitles, and definitely got to get a distributor at this rate. So might try ITN or that other releasing company, or Gravitas Venturas, any of those companies like Maverick, who are kind of doing the whole buy your movie for a discount. You know,
if I get $5, I'm excited.
Right?
What is the other one that they have?
Tubi.
It's not Vudu.
Tubi.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yes. Yes.
Tubi's owned by Fox.
Yeah. Co-owned. Yeah. So it's taken over.
So I don't know.
It can't hurt. I kid you not. I had a pal who made a terrible movie involving prostitutes and vampires and featured neither much of that. It just had people talking. I knew the idiot back in like 2012. And he just now, like 2 years ago, made this awful movie and got it on Tubi. So anything is possible.
Wow.
You can be the most soulless filmmaker and put your piece of shit on Tubi. I'm telling you, it has a place.
There you go.
For those who want to watch the show, 24 is still streaming on Freevee, the relaunched Amazon Prime, as well as Hulu in high definition. Check it out.
If you
want to do a fun binge watching party and don't want to take the disc out.
No, my thing is, I don't care for the ads. I need to watch 24, no commercials. So yeah,
that's where to watch it.
Yeah, so I just downloaded Legacy.
Right, fair enough.
I'm like, nah.
A little shorter that way too.
Yeah.
Like, I completely almost ignored episode 7. So if I had to add commercials in there, it was like, no.
No, that would be bad.
Yeah. Like, no, this would be longer. Right.
You can have an ad pop up as well, but leave it on. Do we, the fans, have to buy out some extra space just to get an awesome screening? I know apparently that is how they introduced it to Japan. Like, the guy who dubs Homer Simpson over there is the voice of Jack Bauer in the Japan dub.
Oh!
So that's so very weird. Meta. You can look it up. YouTube Japanese ad, and there's even a crazy music video to go along with it, and you'll be hollering laughing. It's like a crazy Mighty Jack, you know, Turbo Man, Godzilla ad. You're like, this can't be real, but it is. But
I gotta find that.
Check out the Japanese commercial where he's like eating a certain kind of food or whatever. But I love how apparently I think they did kind of do what Britain did with the NCIS, where they took episodes and they compiled it as a movie. I don't know how you do that, but good luck. You definitely would have to do what movie trailers do, where you would have to be having, like, showing some of the action while someone's narrating in another scene. You know, it's just the only way you would be able to compress it.
We're Jack Bauer days.
Right. You would have to cut out not only so much Kim Bauer, but some of the terrorist subplots would have to go. So we wouldn't know how they obtained the bomb, really. Oh, man. Well, thank you all. This has been a very glorious 90 minutes, and I wish you all well.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. This was a Dynamite Tuesday. Anytime.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.